Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we are looking forward to bringing you another spiritual experience today from our home to your home. And we'll get started with Pamela.
Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm the foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, July 19th. The key word is togetherness, and the affirmation is, I share God's love, peace, and joy. While I treasure my times of quiet and solitude, I also look forward to enjoying the company of family, friends, and members of my faith community. Whether we are working, volunteering, praying, or simply enjoying one another's company, our shared experiences allow me to support people I care about and feel supported in return. I enjoy and value togetherness throughout every season of my human journey. During times of trial, hardship, or grief, being in the company of friends and family helps to comfort me and keep me strong. Likewise, during times of celebration, being in the company of others multiplies my joy. In times of togetherness, may the love, peace, comfort, and joy of God bless us all.
Thank you, hon. So, you know, we're continuing on this journey called the, whose am I really? And I just wanted to share that we got a call from, an email from YouTube saying that our account, cloud account, was filling up. So I had to go out and delete all of the 2018 talks off of YouTube. And I looked at a couple of them and I saw the major difference between doing them this way is that when I was doing them live, you know, there were people in the audience I would look out to who were sort of like my, what's the word I'm looking for? They would let me know if I made a point or that was, you know, engaging or whatnot. But I had my folks I would look to, and I could look around and see all of you. But, you know, in this situation, all I can do is just look straight into the camera lens, you know, so it looks like I'm talking to you. But there's nobody here to talk to except Pamela. She's way over here, and she's busy operating things, that, you know, for the talk. But it's just, you know, it's just a very different world. But, you know, we still enjoy doing this. So like I said, you know, today's talk is part three of Whose Am I Really? And there's always a subtitle. And the subtitle for today is The Way to True Joy, all right? And remember, we're always trying to figure out how do we get to this next level of consciousness. That's the key. You know, we've been working with some fairly challenging concepts, you know, in our exploration into how to make the gradual shift from ego mind to our indwelling Christ mind. And for practical clarification, you'll think of the Christ mind as our individualized access to the infinite potentiality that God is. It is where we have access to a divine wisdom that's far beyond our intellect. And I believe we do tap into it from time to time, but have not grasped how to stay connected all the time. You know, it's like, remember last week I was talking about the idea of the crack in the cosmic egg. We get to peek through this shell that we've created around our divine I am by all of the challenges in the world that brought about feelings of fear and anguish and whatnot that sort of begin to disconnect us from the true essence of who we really are. So, you know, we do get a peek at it, you know, from time to time. And that, you know, the challenge is not only is the shift from finite mind to infinite mind that is not easy, it's also not probable for most people. The reason being is that it requires an incredible amount of work, dedication, and sacrifice And because most of us can't really grasp the divine benefits of the Christ mind, there isn't really a great appeal that gives us the motivation to do the work. And if you can understand what I'm saying, you know, for us, the ego is always, when our intellect or ego, whichever one you want to call it, as we're striving for something, we're always thinking to ourselves, you know, when I get there, this is what the experience will get me to. But we can't, it's hard for us to say that when I get to Christ's mind, this is what will get me to. You know, we can't grasp that intellectually. You know, so the work, you know, requires a tremendous amount or a high degree of what I call self-mastery, right? In a TED Talk, Buddhist monk Master Xinheng Yi explained the five things that block us from obtaining self-mastery. And the first one being sensual desire, okay? And what he was getting at was, he was saying, for example, if your spiritual goal was to climb the mountain, or to climb the mountain, don't have to be a spiritual goal, your goal is to climb the mountain. And, you know, the idea of self-mastery is, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to do what it takes to climb this mountain. But on the way up, if you pass by this really nice restaurant that had, you know, luxurious-looking, delicious-looking food, your concept of climbing the mountain would go out the window because you're going to stop here and get you something to eat. You know, and he said that sort of is what he means by, you know, this idea of sensual desire, is that we have a five-sensory dynamic that takes us away from the spiritual goals that we're trying to achieve. And another thing I read, I think it was about Paramahansa Yogananda explaining the idea of meditation. He says meditation is, you know, you're sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, your nose starts itching, you got to scratch that. Or you hear a noise and it kind of breaks your concentration, or the room temperature changes or something. He said this five-sensory dynamic is what keeps us from going really into a deep meditation. He said the purpose of meditation is to pull your nervous system away from the outside, from your outer skin and ears and eyes and nose and whatnot, so that you can, when you pull the nervous system away, now things can happen outside of you and have no effect on you because your nervous system is no longer activating your five senses. So that's sort of the idea of self-mastery. You know, how do I get beyond my five-sensory desire that, you know, causes me to do things that breaks my concentration from coming, you know, working on my spiritual goals, so to speak. But anyway, this idea of sensual desire, again, it breaks us away from what it's called the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness being in the moment, calmly focusing your awareness on your thoughts, feelings, and bodily sensations, which I was just describing, without becoming a slave to them. Okay, so if you do the practice of meditation, and the next time you try it, if you feel an itch somewhere, instead of scratching that itch, see if you can get your mind to move away from it till you no longer feel it. Okay, so that's sort of the concept. You know, we're trying to break away from being slaves to our sensory desires. And so it's also this idea of observing these ideas without becoming them. You know, you observe what's happening in your body and so forth without actually becoming it. You observe what's happening in your thoughts. Remember, self-observation without condemnation. You're observing what's going on in you as if you are an outside observer looking at it instead of feeling trapped within it, okay? So that's the foundation of self-mastery. And we have a tendency to react to what is happening in the world in a way that causes us to become lost in our thoughts and feelings and emotions. And Don Miguel Ruiz expressed self-mastery by saying, "No one is responsible for your emotional reactions except you. Others can say and do anything they like, but what happens inside of you is only the result of what you decide to think and feel." Okay? And then Leonardo da Vinci explained the importance of self-mastery as, "One can have no smaller or greater mastery than to master one's self." And James Faust, the American religious leader, lawyer, and politician, explains that self-mastery is a challenge for every individual. Only we can control our appetites and passions. Self-mastery cannot be bought by money and fame. It is the ultimate test of our character. It requires climbing out of the deep valleys of our lives and scaling our own Mount Everest, okay? So self-mastery is the reason for studying the spiritual concepts we explore each week. And even though it may seem, you know, impossible to fully embrace and live the spiritual concepts that we explore, if you work at it with a sense of sincere dedication and commitment, you will be amazed at how much you can be transformed from almost complete reliance on your ego mind to sharing some of your thought time with God. Okay? And that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, I got a next slide I want to go over, and I'm putting it on a slide because it's a lot, and I want you to be able to grasp, you know, the ideas that we're talking about here. Okay? So, the ancient wisdoms of several different traditions. I probably got this from Greg Reardon, because he studies all of the ancient wisdoms of, you know, different traditions. It expressed the idea that the only way to achieve true joy and fulfillment is by becoming a being who shares thought time with God. God being the spiritual I am, or the ruling consciousness within us that is individualized within each one of us as the Christ. This is why I wanted you to kind of be able to look at this as I'm talking it, okay? So it is the creative power within us that is our guide to true joy and fulfillment. Now, Psalm 28:7, we read, "The joy of the Lord is my strength and shield." Okay? So this idea of self-mastery is the key of what we're trying to get to. And in Scripture, the concept, the joy of the Lord, has to do with the strength that is given from the infinite source that God is, that helps us to work through difficult times with a sense of confidence that our efforts will be fruitful, all right? So on a personal scale, we all have experienced having to tackle a very challenging and difficult task. But if we have a sense of knowing how to move through this task, there's a sense of joy that comes from our confidence. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, we've all had this happen. Yeah, something comes up, it's really, really challenging, but you have, either you knew how to get through it, or through divine guidance, you get this sense of how to get through it, or somebody helps you to get through it. But, you know, when you're feeling that you can get through this challenge in front of you, there is a sense of joy that comes from the confidence that you have. And the joy of the Lord is that feeling magnified. So what I'm saying here is that if you can, from your own intellect and ego, figure out how to get through something and feel a sense of joy in getting through that, this concept of the joy of the Lord is that feeling you get magnified, okay? And we've all made the statement, "I'll be happy when." Probably say it several times a day. "I'll be happy when," okay? Whatever that might be. "I'll be happy when we finish the dishes. I'll be happy when I finish cutting the grass. I'll be happy when I can retire." Whatever it might be, okay? The idea being, when something of a material nature is achieved or acquired, we will experience joy. However, we've also experienced our joy diminishing when the passage of time causes us to lose interest in what we have acquired, or it wears out, or some new fantasy thing, you know, has pulled our attention in another direction, okay? So there's nothing wrong with wanting material things except when it diverts our attention from the true source of joy and fulfillment. And again, ancient wisdom, you know, tells us that the only way to achieve true joy and fulfillment, now listen carefully, is to become a being who shares thought time with God. It's about sharing or giving space in your consciousness for God to express divine ideas within you. So I'm trying to think about what that means, all right? So, you know, we're thinking all the time, okay? The key here is there is times when we're thinking that we want to become quiet and give God some time to think through us. So give God some time to share divine ideas with us, okay? Now, this, of course, is the underlying meaning of the scripture in Luke 2:7, "There is no room in the inn." Okay, so the meaning of that is, when I'm saying we want to become beings who share thought time with God, if we're not sharing thought time with God, we are like the innkeeper who said to Joseph and Mary, who wanted to give birth to the Christ, "I'm sorry, but there's no room in the inn." So if you're not giving God some time to be in your consciousness, to be in your thinking, okay, then you are telling God, "I'm sorry, there's no room in the inn." Okay? Or in John 8:37, when Jesus said, "And yet some of you are trying to kill me because there is no room in your heart for my message." And again, that's what we do to the Christ. You know, the Christ is trying to share with us a divine process that we can use to move through some of the things we're trying to move through. But we kill that idea because we're so entrenched in our own thinking about how we're going to make something happen. Okay, and that's the question we must answer for ourselves. And again, here's another slide that I want you to take a look at. It says, is there room in our hearts and minds to receive the guidance of Spirit? And all of our life endeavors, our spiritual work, is to consciously share our consciousness with God so that we can be imbued with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That is the essence of mindfulness, which is maintaining a moment-by-moment awareness of our thoughts, feelings, and bodily sensations in surrounding environment through a gentle, nurturing lens. Now, notice what I'm saying. A lot of times when we're looking at our thoughts, feelings, bodily sensations, and surrounding environment, we're not doing it through a gentle, nurturing lens, okay? So mindfulness is being mindful of being gentle in your thinking, gentle in your being, right? It is keeping our thoughts tuned into what we are sensing in the present moment rather than rehashing the past and imaging the future, right? So that's sort of the concept. And our ultimate spiritual goal, as we know it right now, let me just be clear, our ultimate spiritual goal as we know it right now, because I know there are levels of consciousness that are beyond, we don't even know how to talk about it, okay? So our ultimate spiritual goal, as we know it right now, is to reach a place in consciousness where in all that we think, say, and do, we share our total being with God so that we can be filled with the joy and fulfillment that comes from knowing we are consciously aware of being connected to the source of our true joy. And that's the key. So we're always reconnecting. And we have to always keep reconnecting because stuff always causes us to disconnect. All right? So the key here is to become conscious of when you have become disconnected. You see something on the news or whatever is happening and boom, you get right into it and you realize, I just disconnected, okay? And you want to take a moment to reconnect. So, the key here is when I was in Unity Village, this is back in, I think I started going down in late 1980s, okay? And I was studying under the great Unity mystic, Ed Rabel. And he taught us that tithing is really 100%. Meaning to the true tither, there is a deep inner knowing that all we have comes from God, that nothing really belongs to us, which is the basis of the question, whose am I really? Okay, so if you think about this idea, whose am I really? And you really begin to understand it, you begin to realize that all of your being and everything you have, everything belongs to God, everything comes from God. Okay, so let me just again bring up another thought. Basically, we are merely stewards of the resources of the universe. And we're not so much talking about material resources as we're referring to the creative resources of our consciousness. So from a quantum physics perspective, the divine matrix or web created by Mother Spider in which we live and move and have our being is just a realm of pure, infinite possibilities with no particular material characteristics until we choose by way of consciousness to create certain experiences. I hope that, kind of made sense, all right? Now, when we choose mindfully to share our consciousness with God, and I keep defining what it means to share your consciousness with God. Whatever it is you're doing with God, I want you to understand that God is the realm of infinite possibility. Somebody says, well, what is God? God is the realm of infinite possibilities. If we think back to Deepak Chopra, that's the virtual realm, the realm of infinite possibilities. Nothing characteristic that we know of is there. It's just pure potential, okay? It's not until we get to the quantum realm, which is created by our mind, that we can begin to take this infinite potentiality and begin to form it into things that make sense to us, okay? So when we share our consciousness with God, the realm of infinite potentialities, we open up for ourselves the joy that is beyond the ability of our mind to imagine. So that's the key that we're trying to get at. And, you know, like I say, people are doing this all the time, okay? A lot of the things that we enjoy, a lot of the technology that we're enjoying and the things in our homes, and you ever look back at old movies sometime, you know, or even think, you know, those of us who've been around for a while, think back to television when we first, you know, saw television. It was little or nothing compared to what it is today. You know, now you just pick a remote, talk into it, and it, you know, it does whatever, the TV does whatever you want it to. So somebody was tapping into that realm, even though they may not say that that's what they were doing. But even with all the great technology we have today, tapping into that realm of infinite potentiality gives us an even greater access to unimaginable joy and fulfillment in our lives. Okay, and the incredible reality here is that when you have your mind focused on God from a quantum physics perspective, you are in the unified field of pure consciousness that bathes and permeates all of creation. You're in the divine web of infinite potentiality. And as it's recorded in Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on thee. Okay? So for those who have been here for a long time, if you think back to the spiritual fitness program, I don't know how many people have been back that far with us. Its purpose was to develop a consciousness in which we had the desire to spend more time sharing thought time with God. Now listen to the purpose of the spiritual fitness program and let me know if you see how it would lead to becoming a being who shares more thought time with God. And let me just bring that up for you. Okay, so the spiritual fitness program was designed to help you practice and live the spiritual principles that will connect your consciousness with the Holy Spirit cosmic vibration that Jesus said will supply your every need. It was also to enhance the individual spiritual, your individual spiritual growth. And to do that, you must regularly exercise your faith muscle. Now, faith is the first movement in mind towards living a spiritual life, right? So exercising that faith muscle. And there's stuff that comes up in our lives all the time that gives us the opportunity to exercise our faith muscle. We don't have to go to the gym to exercise our faith muscle. We live in the gym that is constantly gives us the opportunity to exercise our faith muscle. So the implication of the spiritual principles into our lives is not meant to be impossible or even difficult. It is our lack of understanding and lack of practicing a spiritual principle that causes it to appear to be impossible and causes us to doubt its ability to work in every aspect of our lives, okay? So many of us, you know, may hear ourselves rebelling, saying, you know, I don't have the time, or maybe don't even have the inclination to do all the things that the spiritual path requires, and that's fine. You know, even understandable. But as we pointed out, the ancient wisdom of many different traditions independently points to the same idea, that being the only way to achieve true joy and fulfillment is by becoming a being who shares thought time with God. And yes, we can all argue that we have found some happiness in our material endeavors, okay? Pam and I talk about that all the time, about, you know, how we're happy in our lives. And we just celebrated our 48th wedding anniversary on Wednesday, 48 years married, 54 years together, you know. And we talk about how all that we've done to get ourselves at this place in our relationship has been an investment to the joy that we feel at this particular time. But, you know, the happiness that we're all feeling in our lives, it's not that we're referring to in this lesson. In other words, what we're talking about is the lasting joy and fulfillment of God that comes from continuous awareness of your connection to the infinite possibilities that God is, that fulfills your every need. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Because even with Pamela and I and feeling so great about our lives as it is now, there are things that we have to keep thinking about that says, You know, what about this? What about that? You know, I don't know if any of you can understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, we read in Luke 12:22, where Jesus said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. All right, now we know that verse, okay? The reason we do not understand how that is possible is because we're missing the underlying meaning, which is unless we are practicing becoming a being who shares thought time with God, we do not have the faith-based foundation to comprehend how it is possible not to worry about our lives. Did you just get what I'm saying? Okay. So what we're trying to get to is the faith-based foundation to understand how we do not have to worry about our lives because we are connected to the source. Now, one who has done the work to become a being who shares thought time with God is in a state of mind where instead of thinking about what she needs to get, she is sharing or giving her mind and heart to God, the realm of infinite possibilities, okay? So this person is not thinking about it. This person already knows that she is sharing her and he is sharing her, his heart and mind with God, okay? So another scripture, it's Philippians 12:29-31 explains that one who has done the work understands that you do not need to set your heart on what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind about anything. Those things dominate the thoughts of those who do not know that the Father knows what you need. Seek first God's kingdom, and all that you need will be given unto you. Okay? So the key here is, we all heard, seek first the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So another thing we're just learning now in this lesson is part of this seeking the kingdom is that we're always sharing our thought mind with God. That's seeking the kingdom. Okay? And one problem again is one of control. See, our problem was one of control. Yes, we want to, we'll walk out of here and say, yes, I'm going to share some thought time with God. But then our whole ego dynamics, our whole persona begins to get riled up and stirred up, and boy, that God time just goes right out the window, okay? So that's the control factor we've got going on inside of us. You know, we feel we have to be in control of our material destiny, and from the position of a mind that doesn't really know that God is the source of all supply, that's the understandable position we must take. In other words, if you don't know in your heart, mind, and soul that God is truly the source of your supply, then you better take that position of control so you can try to keep some kind of sanity, okay? So we work hard to become clever at controlling our own material destiny. And we must admit, many are bewilderment, refers to being divinely connected to a source that through faith, we have come to know will supply our every need. And the fact that we do not know how it's doing it, but always seems to happen that God's supply is always available, that is the mystery. We don't know how it's happening, but we know it's happening. That's the mystery. And that's what Rumi is saying. He's saying, be in the mystery, you know, be in the bewilderment. And I just, you know, want to stress that many of the financial and material instruments that we may rely on for a sense of security will still be our material foundation. However, beings who share thought time with God will understand the meaning of the scripture in Matthew 6:20. It says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves cannot break in and steal. Okay. And, you know, the last line of this verse points to the difference between someone who is a true student and someone who is just play acting. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's really, really powerful. Pamela, I just watched a movie where it was in London, wasn't it, where the guy was, he had a shack in the woods in London. And he was in his glory. I mean, he had his shack, generated his own electricity, grew his own food, but yet the people wanted to get rid of him because they thought, you know, that he was a bum. And he was saying, no, this is the joy that I want, okay? So, you know, we find joy in many different ways. And interesting thing about this line of scripture is think about those times when your heart sank when hearing bad news that some financial or material instrument you were relying on, you know, for your well-being has diminished in value. I mean, you know, what happened with the COVID virus when it first came out. You know, it's no longer, you know, available to support your dreams. Think about this. You know, if your heart jumps up every time you hear good news and deflates every time it hears bad news, you're actually setting yourself up for heart dis-ease. And who wants that? Okay. So I end with some quotes for us to think about this coming week. First one is Ralph Waldo Emerson. He shared, "People do not seem to realize that our opinions of the world is also a confession of our own character." And I really like this one. With all the challenges happening in our country right now, Rumi shared this, "Out there, far beyond all the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field, and I will meet you there." And so it is. Amen. All right, and we now have meditation with Pamela.
So let's begin by getting comfortable and relaxed right where you are. Focus on your breathing. And as you breathe in, you imagine you are breathing in joy. And as you breathe out, you relax your muscles. Feel any tension in your jaw or face relaxing. Bring a smile to your face as the feeling of joy fills you. Joy is your natural state of being. As you remember the joy of living in the love of God, your body responds. Bring your awareness to your body and notice if you are holding any tension in any body part. Allow the smile on your face to soften in any body part that is holding tension. Imagine that part of your body smiling. Recall a happy memory, such as the love you have for your family and friends, or something amusing. Simply focus on whatever brings up a happy memory or feeling. Notice joy as it rises in your heart. Imagine your heart pulsing the energy of joy. Spread that joyful feeling from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. Every cell of your body responds to the feeling of joy, and you feel embraced by this joy. Take the next few moments to deeply bring that joy into your heart as you reside for a few moments in the secret place of the Most High. And now as we begin to close this time of meditation, you find it easy to smile and feel joyful throughout your day. Thank you, Father, in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Gently bring yourself back to your surroundings and remember the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. Amen.
Thank you, hon. So, tell them about tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, tomorrow evening, which is July 19th at 7 o'clock, for Courageous Conversations, we're going to be listening to the discussion between Ibram Kendi and Dr. Charlene Dukes. Ibram Kendi is the author of the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, and that'll be 7 o'clock tomorrow, July 20th. And is it on YouTube or how do they
it's got, tell them to look at the look at your weekly news, weekly update, and your
e-newsletter
from April. You'll see it on there.
Okay.
So that's going to be exciting. All right. So this has been, you know, a really exciting time for us, and bringing you the service this way. We're hoping that you're enjoying this. As we said, this is going to be going on for quite a long time now. There's so many things that are coming out, writings and that we're getting that are talking about, you know, church is going to be going this way for a long time. As you can see, schools are struggling with, you know, trying to when they can come back. The college that we work at definitely is, you know, standing remote. Teaching. So this is going to be, you know, happening for a long time. So we appreciate you continuing to support us during this time with your offering blessings. And so we want to just kind of say that together, do our offering blessing together. Let me just bring that up. Okay. Yep. This is what it takes to be run all of the whole operation. So holding your offering in your hand or in your mind, and for those of you who give, you know, by debit from your credit cards or your bank statements, we really appreciate that. But holding all of that in your mind and holding Unity Center and Light in your mind and what it all means to you, let's do our blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. So are we ready to do our blessing for the week?
Bless the path.
All right. We're going to say this with passion, zeal, and
gusto.
Together.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. And let's do our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, again, thank you so much for being with us today. And we hope you have a wonderful and safe week.
We'll see you in Zoom.
All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Zoom right after this. We got some great music. So hopefully you are part of the Zoom that we will see you in very soon. Otherwise, enjoy your week. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Bye-bye.